This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. But don't expect us to be nice or politically correct. Nothing is sacred, and the team will be finding the queer and profane wherever we can on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
Hi! Welcome to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. Welcome to Monday night. Thanks very much to Broad, our new neighbours on 9 o'clock. It's really good having wonderful women on the air on Joy 94.9. There's a few of us around. So
the more the merrier.
We have been let off the loose. Let off the leash. On the loose, off the leash happening tonight.
Jim's not here.
That's really what we're saying. So while the cat's away, the mice will play. So we're going to do maybe some things that he doesn't like so much. We're going to talk about some like greeny environmental things, you know. So we're going to have a chat very shortly with Liv from the Australian Youth Climate Coalition. We wanted to talk to her about coral bleaching, which has been in the papers a bit recently and is a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, and it's a real worry. But also just as well, just to see what the AYCC, those of you who don't know, it's the Australian Youth Climate Coalition. So just get a bit of a perspective on climate change, because it will affect our generation more than most. We're the last generation that can do anything about it. And
well, more than most, except maybe the one after us.
That's true.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So it's certainly very, very important. And I think Liv also has a bit of a background in the social impacts of climate change as well. So we'll be talking a bit about the coral bleaching, which is terrible up north, but also some of those as well.
And as always, we would love to hear from you. So send us a message if you have something to say about what we're talking about. If you just want to tell us how much you're enjoying dinner, whatever you're doing, we'd love to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. Email on air at joy.org.au. Also, because Jim isn't here, we could probably take some song requests, maybe. So if it's in the first half, so text us now or SMS us now. Text or SMS, what? Or email 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. Tell us what song you want and we'll try to play it.
And Jim won't bag it because he can bag a song if he doesn't like it. So he won't be able to do that anymore.
He bags songs openly. But he's not here. So I would like to play some Taylor Swift, but it's what you want to hear. So please get in touch. On the line, we have Liv Mehta from the Australian Youth Climate Coalition. Are you there, Liv?
Yeah, hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So I know AYCC does really, really great work all across the country, I guess talking to people about climate change and really connecting. And I think you're one of the biggest youth movements in the country. Is that right?
Yeah. We're actually the largest one in Australia. Yeah.
Amazing. So... there's been a bit in the papers recently about coral bleaching. Can you tell us what coral bleaching is and why it's something we should be worrying about?
Yeah, definitely. It's really worrying and quite frustrating right now, especially with the lack of action that's been happening around politics. But basically, we're experiencing the worst coral bleaching event ever, and it is linked to global warming because basically when corals are stressed by changes in conditions such as temperature, like rising levels, rising temperature in the sea levels, they expel their algae, which is turning them to turn white. And so because we're seeing the highest level, which is level 3, unfortunately a lot of those reefs won't be able to come back from that. We've never seen something like this before, and it's a really scary time for our reef, which is such a natural wonder with so many different ecosystems. So it's incredibly sad to see, but has broader impacts on thinking of the tourism industry just thinking about all the marine life that lives there and the effect that the Great Barrier Reef has more broadly within the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Liv, I think that the aerial surveys that were done in the northern part of the reef said that something like 95% of the reef up there had actually been coral bleached, which obviously not all of it will die, but a huge, huge amount of it will. So it's just I just think I remember seeing the scientist who'd come off the plane just looking really quite distraught and just really making a call out to politicians that, you know, we've been saying this will happen for a long time. And I think scientists might be getting to this point where they're hoping beyond hope that they're kind of wrong, but they're kind of seeing it before their eyes with things like what's happening down in the Tasmanian World Heritage Area as well. So burning in areas of very, very wet alpine forest that shouldn't normally get burnt for thousands of years. So it's a big, big worry. So, Liv, is there any action that you're aware, because obviously you're from Victoria, but there's any action for younger people that can get involved in specifically in Queensland, you know, obviously where a lot of the coal ports are and, you know, where obviously our Great Barrier Reef is?
Yeah, definitely. So at the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, we've actually been campaigning to try and stop the coal port expansion for a number of years now. And so, I mean, if people did want to take action, there are a variety of groups that are campaigning against this project. But here at AYCC, because we're a national group, no matter what state you're in, you can still get involved and have a big impact. And so basically what we've been kind of aiming at is looking at the financial side of these projects. And so looking at the finance of how this is a $16.5 billion project to get the coal ports and the rail and the coal mines, and how it's just pretty much unbankable. And so we've been targeting banks, the Australian banks, for a few years now and trying to get them to rule out investment. And we've tried a variety of different tactics, so talking to branch managers, talking to the public, visiting different bank events and being a little bit cheeky sometimes. And we've had an event called Paint the Town where we covered bank headquarters with posters and chalking and also covered ATM screens with fake messages instead of withdrawing your cash. We gave some different options of like destroying the reef and things like that. We've been employing a variety of tactics and also surveying staff and talking to them about what they think about it. And it's just been an overwhelming response that not only do people love the Great Barrier Reef, but they also see the broader climate impacts that these coal ports could have, as well as the fact that the Indigenous people on that land have not consented to this. And so there's just been a lot of support that's swelled from all of this. And we saw big movements last year with both Commonwealth and NAB banks ruling out funding publicly, which was really huge. And so we've just got to continue pressuring the other banks, as well as international banks, where 13 have already ruled out funding, but hopefully the rest will follow suit.
So for anyone who's listening who might not have seen the developments recently, can you just kind of give a quick recap? So we're talking about a new big coal mine that's been announced by the Queensland government. Is that right?
Yeah. So the government unfortunately approved the mining lease, but there are still a few number of things that they'll have to approve before it all goes ahead. They did go ahead and do that, which is quite frustrating. But there's still, the financing, which they haven't secured yet. So Adani is an Indian coal company that's coming in to do this project, and they haven't secured any finance yet. And so that's why we've taken that angle. And other groups are also looking into different angles as well.
We're going to go to some messages, but please stay on the line and we'll be right back. You're listening to There's Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
Hi, Jason Gibbs here, Joy 94.9 production manager. Want to learn more about radio or audio editing? We're often looking for people to join our team as program production audio producers responsible for producing podcasts just like this one. Get involved, meet new people and learn new skills. Join one of the biggest community radio contributors of podcasts by volunteering for Joy's program production team. All skill levels welcome, no prior knowledge of audio production is required, and best of all, training is free for all Joy members. Keep an eye on the volunteer vacancies page at joy.org.au, and if we're looking for people to join our team, it'll tell you how to get involved right there. The Joy 94.9 program production team, powering Joy podcasts. Any show, anytime. Online at joy.org.au.
Hi there, you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. Thanks for joining Steph and James tonight. No, Jim. Hi there, Jim, but he's sleeping. He's already told us. We've also got Liv Mehta on the line from the Australian Youth Climate Coalition, otherwise known as AYCC. We've just been chatting about the huge new coal port that's been approved and coal mining, I should say, by Adina, one of the Indian mining companies. Now, it's still got a few federal approvals to go, but obviously we're getting to the pointy end now and there really isn't much choice. We really have to choose between things like the coral reef, the Great Barrier Reef that we, you know, pride ourselves on the international scale and vast amounts of tourism.
Coal versus coal. Like, coal, it's black, it's gross. Do you know what's better? Sunshine. You know what's better? The wind in your hair.
They name their whole state after this thing. It's like the Sunshine State. Like, it's like so there. But really, it is that serious, isn't it, Liv, that we have to leave, I think it's, what, 80% of coal reserves in the ground? And that is that this is the exact kind of project that can't go ahead. So it's great to see that even young people in Australia are really influencing the big banks, the people that actually finance this deal. So what more? Tell us a little bit more about the Sadana coal mine and others and you know, why they're so, you know, they're really at the coal face, so to speak. Bit of a play on words.
Just small thing. It's Adani, so the Indian coal company.
Sorry, Adani.
Totally. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, that's so right. Coal is just such a dirty thing in so many different ways. It's polluting our environment. It's digging up land that is precious for Indigenous people, and the price is actually dropping. So it's just outdated and something we need to definitely move away from and transition to 100% renewable. And so that's definitely what we're promoting here at AYCC and what it seems to be like a lot of people are joining in on. And so it's, yeah, really upsetting when projects like this are announced and are actually looked into and then approved. So, yeah, that's why we've definitely been fighting as hard as we can with this campaign for a few years as well as with other groups. And, yeah, we definitely saw the financial side of it as a nice in, even though it was a bit daunting at the start, thinking about tackling the big banks, but, you know, two of them ruled it out last year, and so I think that just shows the power of young people and that we can make a difference and that we should definitely be trying because it's our future we're fighting for. But obviously, as we can see the coral bleaching happening right now, we're feeling the impacts right now. So, yeah, I think if there's ever projects like this, we need to use our voices and our skills to tackle it.
Something I think sometimes can be a bit of a challenge is when we see things like the coral bleaching and I guess the speed at which climate change is occurring that we can kind of make, or doesn't for me, make me sometimes feel helpless, like this kind of idea of, oh my gosh, we're doomed, like it just seems insurmountable. I guess what's your response to that, or is it too late?
It's definitely not too late, but I think that's definitely a common feeling. And I know when I started learning about climate change, learning the science and all of that is incredibly overwhelming and you can feel very small. And I think you just need to get past that point and start looking at the solutions because they are there and they're ready to be implemented. We just need that groundswell of support to help make that happen. And I mean, I joined AYCC when I was in high school and just being part of a movement of young people who are wanting to make positive change can just really influence how you feel about those sorts of things. So I think, you know, educating yourself on what is possible and surrounding yourself with people who are also taking action and actually achieving certain goals can definitely help with that.
Well, Liv, that's probably a great segue into talking about the new campaign, I think, that you guys have launched just... Is today? It today?
Today, yes.
Yeah, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So the campaign we launched today, which feels a little bit crazy right now, it's called For the Love Of, and this year it's called For the Love Of Our Future. So it's actually a campaign that we ran last year called For the Love Of Our Reef when we were purely campaigning on the Great Barrier Reef. But this year, while we're still having a big, big focus on the reef, we're also thinking about the election that's being called, as well as just big decisions that are being made around our future. So this year it's For the Love Of Our Future. And basically what it involves is we're asking participants to give up things that they love for the love of our future. And so it did start today, so it's for the next 2 weeks. We're asking people to give up things like coffee, beer, or chocolate. Or if those things aren't really in their life as much, they can do a three-degree challenge, which is meat, wheat, and sweets. So a bit more difficult. But basically, we're giving up these things to raise awareness and funds to help protect our future and, let us have some kick-ass campaigns this year.
With the federal election coming up, feel free to veto this question if it's something you still need to talk to your board about, for example. But what would you be hoping to see, I guess, in terms of election promises once the election's announced in the next few months?
So, I mean, we are nonpartisan, which means we don't align ourselves with any party. But I guess with our work, what we're trying to do is firstly get young people to enroll to vote, because that's a really important issue that we are starting to address, because we saw that last year 25% of people aged 18 to 24 weren't even enrolled. So I guess we're trying to get young people to firstly vote, but also, target certain politicians in marginal seats and just try and get them to have better policies on climate. And that's what we're always pushing for is, I mean, our ultimate goal is 100% renewable energy for a safe, clean future. But, just really strong policies on climate.
Any seats in particular, or is that yet to be decided?
We're definitely pulling it together. We're going to be in Victoria. We're focusing in Josh Frydenberg's electorate. We're looking at other ones in Kooyong, because he's the Minister for Resources and Energy. So he's quite high profile and can have a lot of influence. We're going to be doing a variety of tactics in his electorate, as well as in like Hindmarsh and Reid. And a few others to educate the communities of that electorate through the door knocking, as well as holding public events and forums, just being present with those ministers hoping to meet with them and let them know what we think.
If anyone's listening and they want to get involved and help out on their campaign, what's the best way to get in touch or to, get involved?
We'd love for people to get involved. It's always so exciting to have new people come in. So we've got a website that's just aycc.org.au. So through there you can find upcoming welcome nights, so you can just go along and hear more about AYCC, our history and our values and what we're trying to achieve. As well as just on Facebook or Instagram, you can find us there. And if you were just thinking of going to join for the love of, which it's not too late to join, you can definitely join. We just hit 2,300 participants and definitely love to have some more. It's really exciting. You can just head to fortheloveof.org.au
and sign up. One last question before we finish up.
Yeah.
This sounds like you're doing a lot of work in this space and it's something you're really passionate about. Can you tell us about what your vision is for the future in terms of the type of world that you want to live in, or the thing that kind of makes you go, yes, this is really important?
Definitely. I think being involved with AYCC for a few years now, got quite ambitious goals and still feeling really optimistic about everything. I do really believe in the 100% renewable goal, but in a few years, I guess I would just love to see more young people taking action, because it's our right to be doing something like this, and hopefully better policies in place in terms of the government, more solar panels on people's roofs, wind turbines around the place, that sort of idea. That idea of just renewable energy coming in and seeing a just transition out of coal communities into renewable ones.
Sounds awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
No, thank you.
And best of luck with the campaign. What are you giving up?
I'm giving up coffee, meat, wheat and sweets.
Oh, my gosh, that's so many things.
I think I might have to give up chocolate. I'm gonna say that tonight. That will be very, very hard.
That's a popular choice, actually. Great. Nice. Definitely sign up.
Thanks, Liv. And anyone who is listening, if you are not enrolled to vote, you should enroll to vote. You can go to the Australian Electoral Commission website and there'll be information.
Yes, there's too many young people that aren't. So please do. It's very important. It's your future. future, and every vote matters. And we need more people like Liv out there doing the work for the climate for us. Thanks, Liv.
Thanks,
Liv. Have a lovely
night.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB TIQ Community Radio Station of Joy 94.9.
Hi there, you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and we're back in the studio with Steph and James. We've just got a new guest on the phone at the moment. We've got Katie, and she's also with us on Joy. So thanks, Katie, for coming online. Can you hear us there?
Yes, I can. Hello.
Hi there. Thanks, Katie. We've just transitioned into another whole studio, but you wouldn't have even noticed. So, thanks very much for being patient with us there, Katie.
It's the magic of radio.
It is the magic of radio. Now we do have the trivia night coming up, which is so important for our community radio station. So, we'd love to hear a little bit about that and how we can get involved. What's happening? What's the date?
Sure. Well, I'm heading up the organising team for the event, and we've been working on it for a few months now, so there's a lot of work gone into it. And our aim is to, firstly, raise a lot of money for Joy, and secondly, to have a very fun and classy night.
So, classy night. So, can you tell us a bit about what you might be wearing, what you recommend other people wear? Are there any, like, amazing outfits that are going to be happening?
Well, we do hope so, because we've got a prize for the best dressed and the runner-up. And I have to say that the prizes right across the board are really fantastic, given that it's only going to cost you $30 or $25 if you're a Joy member. Our prizes are fantastic. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that the dress code for the night is eleganza. And if people who watch RuPaul's Drag Race will know that eleganza means elegant and classy.
Elegant and classy. Ooh. I don't think I'm either of those things.
So we're hoping to see some really nice outfits on the night. I personally will be wearing a pretty nice outfit and some bling.
Can you tell us what the prizes are going to be, or is that top secret?
Of course I can, yeah. Look, we've got a couple of really great bed and breakfast packages. One with a lovely B&B in Harcourt, which is up just out of Castlemaine, and another one in Dalesford. So those two are great prizes. They're going to be for the raffle. We're running a raffle on the night, so really cheap tickets, and you stand to win a great prize. We've also got some really nice prizes for people who own dogs or know someone who owns a dog. We've got some lovely prizes from a business called Puppy Love. And we've also got heaps of things like cinema vouchers and some DVDs and, lots of great prizes.
And so whenever I go to trivia, there are some things that I'm just pretty terrible at. So pop culture is something I just don't know. I'm pretty good at, like, what's the European country that borders with another European country, usually.
Sure.
So what kind of questions are we going to have? Are you allowed to steal answers from the next team? What's the best strategy?
Well, the questions have been written by me and a couple of other people on my organising team who have great experience with trivia nights, and we know what works and what doesn't. And what works is to have a mixture of questions where you've got some really easy ones that everyone can get, some really hard ones that only a few people will know, and the others are all sort of in the middle. And when you've got a table of 8 or 10 people, as we'll have on the night, they're tables of 10, usually there's someone at the table who can answer one of each of the questions. So between you, your team should have a pretty good chance. We've got 10 rounds of questions. Two of them are audio rounds, where you have to listen and identify the voices that you're hearing. And the others are 2 general knowledge rounds. And we've got 6 other rounds which are based six other rounds that are based around the same themes as your classic Trivial Pursuit. So we've got science and nature, arts and leisure, entertainment, sport, history and geography.
And I think they're more male-y. So the first couple.
And, of course, all of this is to support Joy. Can you tell us a bit about why you support Joy, how long you've been at the station, like, you know, what makes Joy important for you?
Sure. I've actually been involved at Joy for, a long, long time. It must be coming up for at least 15 years. I started as a volunteer when we still had the temporary licence, and we were based in South Melbourne. And then as time went by, we were successful in getting our permanent licence. And then I ended up on air quite soon after I joined as a member, and I originally hosted or co-hosted a sports show. And then I moved into being one of the roster of hosts of Saturday Magazine, which is still running. Mm. And then I had a show with two friends called Theme Party for a long, long time at Joy. That ran for quite a long time. And right now I'm the host of Three Chords and the Truth, which is Joy's folk roots blues music show on Sunday afternoons.
That's certainly very diverse.
Yeah, I've also been a newsreader, and I run Joy's social media team. I do the Twitter for Joy, and I look after, you know, we've got other people who do Facebook and Instagram, and I'm sort of the head of the team. We have a really great social media team. So, yeah, I do a lot.
Well,
I love it.
I can't help but think, if you used to host a sports show and now you're hosting a folk show, it sounds like you might have quite a few categories covered. So
well,
you might be the one to beat.
I'm actually a book editor by trade, and I edit nonfiction books, which means I know a lot about a lot of subjects.
So
but I'm not competing on the night because I have a question.
Well, look, if Katie hasn't if Katie hasn't given you a reason to come on Joy, and just shows you how diverse this great station is, you can really come in and, you know, give everything a go, come up with an idea for your own.
Joy has given me many, many dear friends over the years, and I really think it's a very important institution in our communities and supporting our communities, and especially supporting young people who might not be out yet, and but who can listen to Joy and find a voice that might resonate with them, and they know that they're not alone.
Hear, hear.
So if people want to come along, what's the best way that they can get tickets?
Yeah, the best way is to go straight to the Joy website. We've got a joy.org.au/trivia. And if you go to that page, you'll see all the information about the night, what you need to bring, where it is, all that sort of stuff. It's at Collingwood Town Hall, by the way, which is a beautiful venue, very elegant. And our host for the night, our MC, is Damien Nicholas, who's a bit of a Joy legend. He for many years, was the host of our drive show, Bumper to Bumper, which ran every night on Joy. And he's now a professional voiceover artist, and he's wonderful. So he's going to be a great, great MC. And on that page is all that information, plus a link to booking tickets.
Fantastic.
Sounds.
Let's see you there.
Let me just repeat that. It's joy.org.au/trivia.
Thank you so much, Katie. Yes, I'm sure it will be a wonderful, wonderful night. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody's outfits. And, yes, sometimes there's people who, you know, you think aren't going to be that good at trivia, and then
they
bam.
Shock you. Bam.
Yeah. So that could be you if you're listening.
Yeah. Well, we can guarantee you a fun night out. So hope to see everyone there.
Great. Thank you so much, Katie.
It's my pleasure.
Here are some benefits you could gain by becoming a Joy 94.9 sponsor. Increase awareness of your product. Increase your customer base. Increase your profits so you can afford that new item you've had your eye on. You know the one I mean. Gregory sponsors Joy, and now his business is just peachy. Isn't that so, Gregory?
Yes, well, I've...
Ha-ha! Wonderful. Dial today. 1-300-JOY-949. Or send your mail electronically. sales@joy.org.au. That's AU as in AU. Sponsor Joy.
Hello, you are listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. We've been talking to Katie about the Joy Trivia Night coming up on this Saturday, which sounds really fun. So if you're free, come on down to Collingwood Town Hall on Saturday night. But we've kind of been jumping back and forth a bit, because at the beginning of the show, we were talking to Liv from the Australian Youth Climate Coalition about climate change.
Among other things.
Among other things, about coal, about coral, other things that don't start with C. coalitions. and so we're going to play a clip in a second, which explains what coral bleaching is. So if you've been wondering, you know, what does it actually mean, we've got the Australian government to help you out. Yay! But we do have a couple of messages. So before we go to that clip, I'll just read out these messages. So from our regular co-host, Jim. Jim says, do you have a comment on Greg Hunt, who's the Federal Environment Minister, claiming that Attenborough, meaning David Attenborough, the Attenborough program showed the reef in good health. This was on ABC last night. Sorry, all this commentary along the way. Do you have a comment on Greg Hunt claiming that the Attenborough program showed the reef in good health and Attenborough suggested he should watch all the episodes? Yes, I do have a comment, which is that he should watch all the episodes. So the show last night showed very beautiful corals, fish, but of course this was many, many metres down, quite far off the coast, and so I'm guessing is not representative of the whole of the Great Barrier Reef. We also have another message from Eddie, who says, excellent song choice, in response to my decision to play Tegan and Sarah, which I agree, excellent song choice.
You're well supported.
Well supported. So we've got a bit of a clip. This was made by the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority. So it's a bit daggy, but, you know, we're not opposed to daggy here and it's nothing sacred. No. And we'll hopefully give you a bit of a rundown. It's just 2 minutes long that explains how coral bleaching works so that you can be super informed on your Monday night. This you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9.
What is coral bleaching? This coral larvae is a tiny animal no bigger than a grain of sand. It lives in the open water for up to 30 days until it finds a place to settle. It then grows into a polyp, which looks like an upside-down jellyfish. Tiny algae found in the warm waters around coral reefs move into the polyp and multiply. These algae, called zooxanthellae, convert sunlight into food for the polyp. They also give it its incredible colour. The polyp grows and multiplies. Hundreds of polyps form a colony, which we describe as a coral. Over time, different corals will grow and form a reef. Corals are very delicate animals and are very sensitive to change. If the temperature of the water increases by just a couple of degrees, the coral can become stressed and its zooxanthellae will move out. The coral loses its main source of food and its colour. This is coral bleaching. Mass coral bleaching can happen when the sea stays warm for too long and huge areas of coral reef can be affected. If the sea temperature returns to normal quickly enough, the coral can recover. But if it stays hot for too long, the bleached coral will die. Coral bleaching is happening more and more often due to climate change. Coral bleaching is affecting beautiful places like the Great Barrier Reef. Our daily activities are contributing to climate change and putting coral reefs at risk. We can all reduce our impact by adopting reef-friendly habits, like saving energy by turning off unused lights and appliances, avoiding unnecessary car journeys, reusing and recycling products whenever we can. If we take action today, we can help keep the Great Barrier Reef colourful, healthy, and full of life.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. Are we your fun people?
Joy's fun.
Sometimes we're fun. Sometimes we're not. Doom and gloom and disaster.
Yes, I did like that polyp clip, though. That was very instructive. Well done.
Thanks. Instructive, informative on Joy 94.9.
I love the little background noise. But seriously, I think that they actually really properly describe what happens, which is basically it just... gets rid of all of the beautiful algae, so that the whole purpose and the whole colour of that reef just goes a ghastly white and then
and
often dies.
And nothing else can survive.
Awful. Awful, awful.
So thank you so much to our guests for this evening. Thank you to Liv Mehta from the Australian Youth Climate Coalition and also to Katie Purvis from our very own Joy 94.9. And thanks to the Australian government for that informative clip.
Yeah. So do go to the trivia. It's at the Collingwood Town Hall.
Yep.
You can go to the Joy website. And
tune in next week. I think we're talking about unions. We're back to the front line. Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.